Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 72, Key Things for Squatties. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Now this week I'm just having a bit of a departure from the nutrition podcasts. Those are definitely going to carry on. But what I've seen so far is that we actually want to give it a little bit more time than I planned. If we introduce something new every single week, we might actually be rushing it a bit much. And I just want to give you time, every time we introduce something, to make sure that really hits home and embeds as a habit and a routine, rather than trying to do everything at once and then things falling apart again. So, next nutrition podcast will come soon, but for now, I want to talk about some key things for our squatties. This applies particularly to our team, but it's also relevant for everyone else out there. So number one, starting with some basic squat etiquette. The very first thing, when you're coming to a training session or a workout with others, then please know what the workout is before you arrive there. Sure, I'm always going to explain it, give a bit of a briefing. You've got the chance to ask questions. But if you arrive there, start asking other people what we're doing, or if you're late and miss the briefing, then you're putting load on other people, which is actually your responsibility. So please, when you're coming to a session, have a good read of the workout first so that you understand it. If you don't, of course you can ask questions and I'll go through it, but that onus is on you to manage it, to know it yourself, not other people to explain it to you. Now, the second thing related to that is that also you need to be equipped to manage intervals yourself. Okay, we typically bike or run together as groups of people, but and look, there's a few people who naturally take the lead with setting the times and calling out what's going on. But again, you need to know what the workout is and how you're going to do it. So that might mean that you need to work out how to use the lap function on your Garmin so you can do the timekeeping for yourself. It means that you need to know about your own paces, efforts, and zones. Because again, although we might be running, for example, in a group, well, within that group, there's going to be a bit of a range of ability. You're going to spread out over time. So it's not your job, it's not someone else's job to tell you what the pace is and set that. It's yours to know what yours is. And within those sessions also, recognize that some people are really data orientated and they like working off the run pace or the bike power, those kind of things, and others prefer to go by feel. And that's totally fine, no problem at all. But please respect that we've got people who are doing it both ways, so don't try and lead someone astray. Okay, if someone's going by their data, then and you go, oh, let's just blast off the front. Well, no, let them go by the data. If you want to do it your way, that's totally fine. But don't try and put that upon other people. Okay, so that's just some of the basic etiquette about actually training together. Now, specifically when it comes to riding, is we've got some people who are newer to cycling, some who have got less experience or confidence riding with others, and some who are really, really happy, been doing it all their lives around other people. We don't operate as a road cycling bunch does. We don't have rotating leads and that way. Typically, someone who is one of the stronger riders will sit out the front for a while and be at the front, and everyone else finds their place. But it is really important that you find the right place, you find the right level of effort for you. Because if you're that person at the front, you don't need to go harder than the workout just because there are others behind you. Okay. Likewise, if you're behind someone and you're finding that it's a bit too easy, then you need to either get in front or leave a bit of space so that it becomes the right level of effort for you. Okay, so yeah, we're there together. One of the biggest things we're riding for is safety, but don't let that turn into making it either the ride too hard or too easy for yourself. We want to still hit the purpose of the workout. So like I said, one of the purposes is about safety. Okay, so we need to make sure that we're safe at all times out there, ourselves and those around us. So firstly, give yourself space if you're not comfortable riding close to others. And please just tell others in the group that everyone's absolutely fine about it. And it's much better that they know that than think that you are just dropping off the back or something's happened to you because you've disappeared a bit further down the road. I really can't emphasize enough the need for calling and signaling. Okay, I was with a group on the weekend just gone who were doing this really, really nicely through town, but it's so important. Again, I know there's some people who are newer to this, aren't so confident about taking hands off bars, but please talk to each other continuously through the ride so that everyone can know what's going on and can be safe from it. Now, it's also absolutely critical that we stick to the road rules. Okay, we've got a group and the example is going through town with traffic lights. Well, that group might get split up. Some people might get through the lights, others don't. That's absolutely fine. We stick to the road rules, okay? We need to be good citizens on the road to make sure that motorists appreciate what we're doing, that they don't see us taking shortcuts and bringing cyclists into disrepute. So the road rules are non-negotiable, okay? Stopping, giving way, not crossing the centre line, all of those kind of things, non-negotiable. There will, where there's obvious places where you might get disrupted, the groups will regroup, okay? So don't go busting through a red light just because you think, oh, they're not going to wait for me. They will, especially if you're communicating that you've got stuck at that light, then they know. And so that communication thing, it is just so, so important all the way. And I really want you all to have permission to talk to each other. If you see someone who isn't signalling and calling, well, maybe they've just forgotten. Maybe it's not a habit for them yet. Maybe they don't have confidence with taking their hands off. Please talk to each other about these kind of things rather than letting the group be in an unsafe situation or letting it just sit there and annoy you. Let's do something about it. Kindly, talking, communicating. Okay. Slightly different tangent, just want to touch briefly on the training plans, the squad training plans. Now, these plans, they aim to find a balance of everything. We know that some people have more time, some are less, some like a bit more fun and variety, some like structure. So I'm trying to always find a balance of all these things in a training plan. These are definitely not minimalist training plans. The plans have only the key sessions in them. So those are the sessions that you want to hit every single week. Where you have time, ability, or experience, please do add more training to those. It should be low intensity training because the key sessions are generally some of the harder ones. But yeah, recognize that these, although there may not be a lot of workouts in the plan, they're not intended to be minimalist if you've to do training on the absolute minimum amount of time. There is this balance across everything. We do some long rides because actually it's fun. If you are on a purely minimalist plan, then you'd actually have to be doing some much harder training in a shorter time if you wanted that minimal. So yeah, look, we've recognized that balance is there, and aim to hit the key sessions and then make other things work as it suits for you. Also within the training plans, there is two more guidance on this in our team resources. Please go back and have a reread of the team resources to refresh yourself on those. Now, in the training plans, there are strength work sessions. I've put some in there that are pretty basic at home, using minimal equipment or some easy things to get hold of for around the home. Now, I also know that strength training, that's not the fun stuff. That's not the swim, bike, and run. But honestly, as every year that goes by, I see more and more how important that is to performance. So please do some strength training. You can use the workouts that I've got in the plans. But if you're a member of the gym or have a program somewhere else, use that. You might have done some circuit classes in the past. You might have done some, had some core work from your physio. Whatever it is, please, please, please build in the strength training. It really does make a difference over the long term. The next thing I want to touch on is training zones. And again, we've got a range of people. Some people who really like training with data, bike power, running pace, heart rate, those kind of things. And we've got some people who go by feel. Totally fine. What I do want to say to those training with data is that that's just one piece of information or one input. It's not the absolute all pure truth all the time. It's really important for you to still to know how the different zones should feel and how you're feeling at any time. Okay? If your data fails on race day, you're going to have to go by feel. Sometimes you feel awesome, sometimes you don't feel so great. But knowing, being able to balance how you're feeling with the data is really, really powerful. It's much more powerful than just one of those things on its own. So if I asked you right now, can you describe how the low intensity zone feels or the medium intensity zone? If you don't have a clear understanding of what that is, please go back and read up again on the training zones so that you can always have that in mind, how it feels versus what the data is saying. And with the training zones, really important to recognize zones are ranges. They're not precise points. If you're using something like Zwift, that takes you to a very particular power, bike power, and with a smart trainer, it locks you into that. Well, that's actually not necessarily the right level for you. On any given day, you might be feeling fantastic, and you might be able to push a little bit higher in the zone. Other days, you might be feeling a bit knackered. Whatever's going on, you don't have quite the same oomph. Well, actually being a little bit lower in the zone is okay. Okay, those are zones, they are ranges. There is not one precise perfect point for everybody. Use it as a zone, find the appropriate level of effort for you within that zone. And the very last thing I want to leave with is just thinking ahead to December events. We are about to enter October. Okay, October, November, December. Whoa, there's going to be events there. So we need to be thinking ahead already to what we're going to need to have in place for those events. A couple of really obvious ones are people who don't have aero bars, get them as soon as you can. Okay, aero bars are the number one value for money performance improver. Okay, they put you in so much more of an aerodynamic position, you go faster on the bike. So if you haven't got them yet, get your aero bars as soon as you possibly can. Get your bike fit changed because it will need to change going from a road to an aero position. And then you can start getting used to them and spending time on those bars over time. There's no point in having them there and not really using them and then not being able to use them at the event. You want to use all the time that you can, getting comfortable on them, so that you can spend all the time you can in the event. Another obvious one is clothing. Thinking about what you're going to be wearing at events and getting a hold of that soon. You don't have to wear it every single session, but having plenty of time to wear it and figure out a tri-suit, how it feels when it's wet coming out of the water, excuse me, on a cold day that will you want arm warmers as well? How's the comfort level on the saddle? All of these kind of things. Okay, so think, yeah, particularly about equipment, things that you can get now to be prepared and 100% comfortable and ready for the event. The other one is around some habits that you can form now. Habits that you do in training that will then carry over to your event. Look, a couple of really simple ones are eating and drinking on the go on the bike. During a group ride, we're probably going to have stops and points to regroup, but so that's a natural time where a lot of people will eat and drink. But you're not going to have that in an event, so start building the habit now where you are eating and drinking on the go rather than when you're stopped. Again, that might be a skill that you need to develop or work on. The sooner you start working on that, the more comfortable you're going to be by the time you get to the event. Another real simple habit is for those who want to do some speedier transitions, when you're coming to the end of a ride, is practice getting out of your shoes on the bike. Do that at the end of every ride. Becomes a habit, it'll just happen on race day. And another one, these all seem to be related to riding. A really important one, given the group training that we do, is actually riding smooth and consistent. If you're riding in a group with others and you are sitting in the bunch, chances are at times you're going to be riding a bit harder because for whatever reason things just start to stretch out, spread out. At times you're going to be just freewheeling and not even pedaling at all. Okay, that's not how you're going to be doing it in a race or in an event. So build that habit now of finding a bit of space or the right place for you where you are just really smooth and consistent, because that's a real critical thing for events. The smoother and more consistent you can be on the bike, the more that leaves in your legs for running afterwards. Okay, look, that's a whole range of things that I've covered off there. So just going back to the top, that we want to make sure that the squad sessions are working for everyone, that the group rides are safe, that you're understanding your training plan, getting the most out of it, that you are doing the strength work, although it's quite intangible, it has huge benefits the longer you do it, that you're understanding your training zones both from a data and a feel point of view, and you're doing things, putting things in place now leading towards the events in December. Okay, little bits now over time add up to great results. So that's what I'll leave you with today, and next nutrition podcast to come in a few days' time.